All right, can everybody hear me? Wow, awesome. My name is Walter. Thank you so much, Lauren, for that introduction. Just really quickly, I want to invite my team to stand over here. So, the lovely woman with the lovely baby is my wife, Lisa. That's our youngest one, Evander. And then the two boys right next to her are my sons, Oliver and Caleb. And then right next to them is Andre, and then behind them is Deanne, Rebecca, and Andrew. So they're our young adults and our college students. They've come to just love on you guys, ask Holy Spirit, man, how can we encourage y'all today, and what is it that the Holy Spirit wants to partner with us today as we minister as a community? And so, yeah, guys, thank you so much. So my name is Walter. My wife and I, just about 6 to 7 years ago, right before the pandemic, started a ministry, for those who don't know, called Be Known Movement. And Be Known Movement, we've had the opportunity to disciple people into a revival identity and lifestyle. So we started right away, and then we stopped kind of really quickly because of the pandemic. But that allowed us to be creative and to ask the Holy Spirit, are there different avenues? And so we've had the privilege of being able to minister just to local communities, to young adults, to college, to families, to people overseas, people in Hawaii, all sorts of areas. And man, people are just hungry. I think, you know, when I look at this Catalyst community, I'm like, people are hungry for the stuff that you guys are carrying. People are excited for it. And so, you know, whenever I hang out with like Pastor Barry and Pastor Ross, I'm like, man, this is like a breeze to just step into the doors of this church, because, you know, the stuff that we're going after, it's like the same stuff you guys are going after too. So anyways, just from the bottom of my heart, from our heart, just thank you so much for the privilege of allowing us to minister, to share the word today, and to just fellowship with you guys on this awesome Sunday. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and then we're just going to dive into the passage a little bit. So if you guys can put your hands in your hearts, I'd love to just pray for this time. Jesus, I want to pray for every single person here. And I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that we would hear your voice today. That we would see the beating of your heart. And that we would see your face in such a way that it allows us to be both grateful and in awe of you. Lord, I want to pray for each person, and maybe this time right now, as we're praying over each other in this impartation, maybe this is the most important time. But I just want to pray for just an encounter. I want to pray that, Jesus, we would see you, we would meet you, and whether it's through our time in the worship, time with the announcements, the offering, the break, maybe it's time during the sermon, during prayer, during response, after the service, whatever it is, God, it's a win if we get to see you at some point in time. And so, Lord, I just want to invite you to just minister to my friends, minister to me, minister to us together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Cool. All right. Holy Spirit, would you just come right now? Thank you, God. So from what I've been gathering, you guys have been going through 1 John, and the theme has been knowing God, light, and love. So I want to continue that theme. It's actually pretty exciting, and Pastor Barry let me know. For today, the passage that we're covering is 1 John 4:1-6. So if you guys have your Bibles, if you can turn to that, I'll be reading it off of the screen as well. And part of what we'll do is I'll do an initial read of this scripture, and then we'll kind of unpack some of these things bit by bit. Does that sound good, you guys? Cool. So 1 John 4. Verses 1 through 6, and it says this. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." This is like a really juicy passage. So, all right. "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So there's a lot of just recognizing spirits, things like that. This is what makes this passage really interesting and compelling. I want to talk about a little bit of this context before we actually dive into seeing what they're actually talking about. 1 John is a series of three letters that we hear from the Apostle John. It's written towards the end of his era, his time here. And a huge part of what John is trying to do is at this point, somewhere between 70 AD to 90 AD to even 100 AD, this is near the end of kind of the initial apostolic era, you know, where the apostles were building the church. And so at this point, John is, you know, battling things like Gnosticism, battling things like the, you know, how to handle persecution. But the big thing that's going on is he's trying to figure out, how do I bridge one generation to the next? Because what I want to do is establish a foundation that whatever we've laid as apostles continues to the next generation and continues on beyond that. And so what we're looking at here is actually a key heritage, inheritance that we carry as believers. What we're looking at here is actually something that lays the foundation for us to move from one place to the other. And so one thing that's important to know about 1 John 4, some scholars actually say this is sort of like a third movement to what he's been talking about. And just to really briefly hit on it, a key passage is actually 1 John 3, verse 1, and it says this. It says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are." See what great love. So if you guys have ever heard, like in the Old Testament and New Testament, they'll use language like behold, right? When you're doing that, I think a lot of times you just think, oh, this person's just really old and they're just like, you know, using like archaic language or something, right? But if you actually listen and actually look at what behold means, behold is actually an invitation. It's actually a way of saying, hey, I want you to look at yourself right now. You know, I want you to realize that before you, before what we actually see, behold, like if ever I go, behold, like this amazing guitar, right? Like I'm already inviting you to give attention to this guitar right next to us. It's a very lovely guitar too, by the way. So I'm a Martin fan. So it's important because behold is actually an invitation to realize what's present before us. And similarly, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. I want you to be present right now that the love of God is in this room. I want you to be present right now that God has laid this incredible foundation for love. And on top of that, that love now gives us access to this idea that now we are called children of God. So he not only is inviting us to be present with the presence of God, he's saying this very presence ministers to us to the point that it actually forms an identity. It forms what we're called children of God. And that is what we are. And so from that point, from 1 John 3, he's actually laying out what being a child of God actually looks like. And so at this point in 1 John 4, we now get into what are some rights that we have as children of God. And so this isn't fully comprehensive. There's way more ways that you can organize this. This is just the way that I chose to do it. But I want to talk about three rights that we have as children of God, three rights that allow us to operate from God in a way that brings light and love, and a way that helps us to discern and overcome. And so anyways, I'm going to start with verse 1 in chapter 4, and it says this, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And so the first right, I want you to turn to your neighbor. I want you to say, you have the right to test the spirits. You have the right to test the spirits. You have the right to test the spirits. Now, here's sort of the problem with testing the spirits is I wish that it was like, I wish it was like one of those like, hey, here's a test the spirit kit, you know, like add like 3 drops here, just shake it a bit and see if it turns a certain color, right? And we do have some foundation of testing the spirits in terms of the word. I think that's incredibly important. But I think we don't really understand what testing the spirits actually looks like. All right, and John is saying this is actually really important. I want to tell you guys as friends, I want you to test the spirits, okay? Now, what John is saying here is actually really important. And here's one key word I want to look at is the reasoning of why to test the spirit. It says, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So right away, that tells me what we're testing is a spirit, but the mode of communication that we're looking at for testing the spirits comes from the realm of prophecy. Does that make sense? Because we want to test things because there are false prophets, okay? Are you guys tracking with me so far? So it's important to recognize, for one, what John is saying here is pretty radical, to say that you should test a spirit and you should test a prophetic spirit. And here's why. How many of you guys recognize that when Jesus died on the cross, our ability to hear from God has radically changed? Yeah, right? When he died on the cross, it says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that through him we might become the righteousness of God. So that transaction that takes place now leads us into a realm of righteousness. And that righteousness, we might become the righteousness of God, changes our ability to hear from God, okay? And one really tangible way of that is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit within us, Jesus in us. We'll continue going further a little more about that. But one of the key reasons why that's important is because, believe it or not, the Old Testament realm of hearing God is very different than the New Testament realm of hearing God. And this passage is sort of evidence of that. And so just really quickly, I'm just going to give a little bit of a summary of what an Old Testament and New Testament paradigm looks like. And actually, I realize that if you can flip to the next slide, I might have a little bit of a grid here. Jesus says this in Matthew 5. He says, well, you've heard it before. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Now I say to you, love everybody, including your enemies. Okay, in the Old Testament, there was a paradigm where it was very nationalistic, right? So Israel had neighbors. They want to trade well with neighbors, but you also had enemies. And so when you're hearing from God, you're hearing about war. You're hearing about how to interact with these other nations. There's a clear delineage, a clear separation between Israel and the world. And now God is, and through the advent of Jesus, we have something completely different. It's actually love everybody. My love is so powerful on the cross that it even includes your very enemies. If you guys ever want to practice loving people in the name of Jesus, try doing it with someone that you don't get along with. So, because then you know that that love is strictly from Jesus, okay? And so the second thing, another one, and there's a bunch of them, but traditionally Old Testament, words of God comes from a prophet to judge a nation and call out the dirt. So an example of that, you might see in 2 Samuel, where David had slept with Bathsheba, and Nathanael, the prophet, comes out and calls him out. Hey, this is what happened. You know, you actually defiled this whole kingship that we have going on because of an adulterous affair that took place. And so he's calling out the nation because he says, Israel, we're called to be better than that. Okay, our people here are called to be higher, to live a standard higher than what we see around us. And so they were called to keep us accountable to the Mosaic law, the law of Moses. But in the New Testament, both the prophet and the receiver can judge the word and pull out the gold from the dirt. Okay, because again, at this point, it's if Jesus died for you and that you might become the righteousness of God, I need to speak forward what you might become. Does that make sense? Because God actually sees you differently because of what he did on the cross. He doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your dirt. Sure, we want to acknowledge that that had happened, but he actually sees who you can become. And this is sort of why it's so important for us to recognize through the law came Moses, like it says in John 1, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We want to recognize the truth, but we also need to partner it with grace. And so that is one of the key differences that you see between the Old and the New Testament here, is what John is saying in 1 John 4, verse 1 is, you actually have the right to test the word now, okay? And as we walk with Jesus, you have the right to say, hey, is this actually from God? Or is this actually something from a false prophet? Now, let me just say this. You have the right to test the word, okay? We still don't want to reciprocate, like, you know, like, let's just say someone gets a word wrong, okay? Like, because they're learning to listen to the Holy Spirit. This is where grace is really important. You don't want to go up to them and be like, false prophet, okay? Okay? Like, that's not helpful. That could help. That might, you know, demoralize everybody. But it's to say, hey, with grace, I'm learning to walk with Jesus. There may be things I don't fully get, but that's why I want to talk with you so I can make sure we're on the same page and I can actually understand what Jesus is saying. So that's why we want to learn with grace. We want to grow with grace. And so both the prophet and the receiver can judge the word, and they both can pull out the gold from the dirt. Does this make sense? Okay, so we have this paradigm that John's now introducing. My dear friends, test the spirits, right? You have the right to test. And now the church is going, whoa, this is a whole new paradigm that I've never really seen before. The question now becomes, well, how do we actually test the spirits? I will be giving a few more points besides the next one that I'm going to be sharing with you. But how do we actually test the spirit? How do we operate out of this right to test? And it comes from this. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. I'm so glad John wrote this. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. So there is a spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is in the world. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. So here's the problem with this passage. Now, I agree exactly with what John is saying here. All right, the key thing for me, though, is we test the spirit by recognizing what that spirit acknowledges, okay? How many of you guys have heard of Proverbs 3, 5 through 6? Yeah? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll set your path straight. So right away, we're called not to lean on our own understandings. In all our ways, acknowledge him and he'll set our path straight. Actually, there's a sense in that one passage that we acknowledge God in all of our ways, but that happens through the realm of actually surrendering our understanding, okay? Surrendering a mindset of what's clear. I actually think that when we try to acknowledge something, we actually try to do it with our minds. And this is what I mean by that. And I think more like we try to do it by a very logical sense. If you guys have ever, like, played Fortress, like, you know, and I mean, like, when you're kids, you know, you build a fort. Have you guys ever done that before? Where you, like, build a fort, or you have, like, a special secret meeting or club meeting with your friends, things like that. And so one of the things that you do, right, is you set you want to find out, like, a way to make your meeting super special, right? And so you set someone in the front of the door, and you have them go, like, we're going to have you say a password, okay? And I remember doing this, like, at Cub Scouts, right, like, when I was really little, and we, you know, there's a playground, and there's a kid in the front of the playground, and they're like, hey, you got to know the password. And I was like, oh, there's a password? Like, what's the password? And then he's like, oh, you just said it. And, you know, did they let you in? Right? Because, like, I mean, I hate to say this, but, like, you know, in general, like, you want to try password to see if that's your password, right? And so it so happened I lucked out. I got right in. Or I had a friend of mine who had an older brother, right? And I'm not going to name their name, but it's like, my older brother is stupid. Oh, that's the password. You can come in. You know, like, yeah. And they're good friends now. You know, they were best men at each other's weddings. So, but that, you know, it sort of goes to show you, right? Like, kids just try to come up with, like, whatever password that you can come with. And the idea of that password is you have a belonging to the club. We acknowledge you as a part of this club if you know the password. Okay? Now, I actually think that that password concept is a little bit more ingrained in our minds than we really realize. So when we don't know how to test a spirit, and we go, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, right? But every spirit that doesn't, then that's not from God, and that's the spirit of the Antichrist. So it's like, how do we do this? We tend to think, okay, if the spirit actually, if whatever spirit we're interacting with, if it knows the password, which is Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is from God, okay, then I'll give them complete access to whatever, you know, whatever, to my life and authority, okay? Now, the problem with that is how many of you guys recognize that when Jesus was tempted in the desert, okay, Satan actually used scripture to test Jesus. So the enemy, the Antichrist spirit, actually knows the Bible pretty well. So if you're going to give him a password, like all of my heart's authority I'm going to give you, if you can just tell me the password to my heart, like he can kind of crack that, okay? He can actually use scripture in a way that goes, yes, I acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is from God. Okay, great. Now you can just tell me whatever you want to tell me. Does that make sense? Like, it doesn't really work that way. If you actually think about Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, what we actually see is this isn't about what you say, okay? This is actually about how we see you interact, what we see your heart position like, and does that, in all our ways, do we actually see you acknowledging the Lord, okay? You can actually see if a spirit is trying to acknowledge the Lord or not. An example of this, years ago, I met a gal. She was a part of, she joined us for a Bible study in the dorms here and there. And afterwards, you know, I was involved with another ministry, so we didn't really interact after that. Now there's this one point in time where I was leading a worship practice with our group, and let me think here. As we were leading this worship practice, I get a phone call from one of our students who was doing a little bit of ministry with me, like praying for some people. And so she called me because I think she wanted something. But, you know, being the, like, trying to be on it worship leader that I was trying to be, I took that phone and I just put silent, right? Because I'm like, okay, guys, I got to lock in on worship. And all of a sudden, I remember I get another phone call, and it's from my wife. Same thing. I'm like, I got to lock in. So I kind of hang up, okay? I kind of hang up. And then we have this little break between songs, and then the keyboardist, she's on her phone. She goes, oh, by the way, Walter, Lisa is calling me to tell you to call her back because it's a semi-emergency. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And so, you know, I call her. I'm like, hey, honey, I'm so sorry. I was, you know, trying to be a good steward of my worship time and leading and everything was going on. And she goes, have you heard from this other student that reached you earlier? I was like, no. You should try to talk to her. So long story short, the student that we talked to is friends with that student from the Bible study from a while ago. That student who was a part of this Bible study from a while ago had this sort of story where she started actually seeing things that like are beyond the physical realm. And she didn't know what to do with that. So what she did do was she went to UCI's counseling center. They didn't know what to do with that, so they sent her to the psych ward. And then they didn't know what to do with that, so they diagnosed her with schizophrenia. Now, this had been 3 months after that, and she realizes that the medication that was given to her wasn't working because whatever voices she was hearing came back. And she's like, I don't want to. She stopped reading the Bible. She stopped getting time with Jesus. And now she's going, man, if these voices came back, do I have to get a higher dosage in order to keep doing my life? she dropped out of UCI at that point in time, or she took a break. And so, because she just couldn't, you know, study it with that headspace. And so she locked herself in a room, and her roommates who weren't Christian were freaking out. And they were like, do we pray? Is that what we do? Like, according to the movies? And so that's when they called their friend, and then their friend called me. And then right after worship practice, we walked over to this lady. And so I walk over to this lady, and, you know, eyes are glazed. She's looking down on the ground, and I'm like, tell me what's going on. She tells me this whole story. And we spent some time in worship. We spent some time praying over some scriptures. Again, her eyes are totally glazed, you know? And so she looks like she's out of it. As I'm praying over her, it's like nothing's really landing. And all of a sudden, I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, how in the world do I encourage her? So I ask Holy Spirit, like, what's some things that maybe you're highlighting, these first thoughts, I'm just going to just speak them over her. And so I start just, you know, encouraging her. Some people call it prophesying over her because it's edifying, encouraging, comforting. And so I start speaking just identity into her. And all of a sudden, she like, she kind of has this moment of glimmer where she kind of looks up. And she goes like, oh, that's really weird. And I go, what's really weird? And she goes, what you just told me is exactly the opposite of what the voices have been telling me since last night. And so I'm like, oh, interesting. And I go up to her and I go, guess what? I'm just going to tell you the truth. I don't think those voices are from God. And I don't think you're crazy. And so I just keep, you know, asking Holy Spirit, what else should I say? And so as I started speaking things into her, I was like, hey, those voices. And I start describing, you know, what they kind of look like, some facets. And she goes, oh my gosh, that's it. You know, that's it. And I go, this is what I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying about you and about that. And I just declare that, and all of a sudden she goes, wow, whatever that thing was, it left, you know? And then, wow, whatever that other thing was, it left. And so slowly but surely, all these things started leaving her. And so finally, she goes up to me and she goes, I just hear this little chatter. And so I go, hey, can I just pray these little, you know, this little chatter away? And so, you know, we just pray over in the name of Jesus, like, I just command you voices to be gone. And she and I go, you know, from a scale, you know, normally I go from a scale of 1 to 10, but at this point I was like, hey, can you tell me just like distance-wise where they are? And she's like, oh, they're further away. And I was like, let me do it again. And so we did it again and again until they were gone. All right. And you know, just long story short, we find out later on she enrolled back into UCI and she graduated. So yeah, praise God, right? Isn't that cool? Awesome. Now normally that can happen really quick, but here's what actually took longer that I didn't mention in that story. During the time, I was talking with her, and right before we started, actually it was midway while we were prophesying a bit, I asked her, like, hey, like, are you exposed to this? Does this make sense? She goes, oh, yeah, I've had experience with, like, the prophetic. And she goes, actually, one of my spiritual leaders actually had prophesied over me. Like, it was, like, a key mentor pastor. And so I go, oh, really? And I go, so I want to partner with that to just see, you know, how we can keep going forward. Could I ask what that person said? Oh, yeah, God is sad over me. I'm broken. And this is the person that's defiling me. And so I look at that and I was like, problem, problem, problem. And I was like, has anyone heard from the Lord for you the solution? And she goes like, no. And so what ended up happening was we actually spent more time actually praying over what are the promises of God. We spent more time actually praying over what's the solution. And so what's my point in sharing this? I want to share that actually acknowledging a spirit, believe it or not, is less about whether they say, oh, they know Jesus or not, okay? But it's actually understanding how they acknowledge their ways. Because even someone who might be able to hear from God to some extent might not be understanding that we ought to acknowledge our ways. So your words, what's spoken over you, the spirit has a way that we want to see. Does that way acknowledge Jesus? Does the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they may have life and life to the full. Do these words that are being spoken, are they actually ruining the person? Are they actually causing this person to be destroyed, right? Or is it actually giving them full life? And so even if the words come from a spiritual mentor or pastor, right, I want to test if those words are being partnered with a spirit that actually embodies the ministry of Jesus, or does it actually embody the spirit of the Antichrist, okay? Now, again, please, like, everyone's learning to hear from God, so you don't want to be like, you have the spirit of the Antichrist inside of you, okay? But it's important to recognize that we don't want to just treat this sort of like a password thing. Does that make sense? Because they'll say that they acknowledge Jesus, but you want to actually understand its behavior. And so if it's trying to lie, if it's recognizing, therefore, in Romans 8:1, it says, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If there's condemnation, I don't know if that's from Jesus. Okay? And so that's why it's really important. When we say acknowledge, when you have the right to test the spirits. Okay? And how do we test the spirits? It's more than just what it says. It's the purpose behind what it's trying to say and what it's trying to get at you. Does that make sense? And the moment we recognize that, we actually have the ability to test and disempower and empower, the right spirit. So anyways, that's the first thing I want to share is how do we recognize the spirit of God? It's actually by seeing if that spirit acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is from God. All right, let's keep going. So 1 John 4, the next verse after that, it says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. Now, it says they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world and the world listens to them. We are from God and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever's not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So there's a little bit of a contrast there, somewhat similar, spirit of truth and falsehood, spirit of Jesus and this Antichrist spirit. But I want to talk about the second thing that we have as a right. And it says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who's in you is greater than the one who's in the world. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have the right to overcome. You have the right to overcome. All right. In the Greek, word for overcome is nenike kate. Or neni ke kate would probably be the way to actually say it. Neni ke kate. And the interesting part about overcoming this is that it's in what's called the perfect tense. The perfect tense, a lot of the times we translate those as past tense, but there's certain nuances with this word. And they did a good job translating it by saying, and have overcome them. I want you to think this way. Imagine you're at like a Thanksgiving meal, okay, you're hosting your Thanksgiving meal, and you go up to someone and you go, where did they go? Right? They could say, oh, they ran to the store. Like, they ran to the store to get something, right? So when you say they ran to the store, that means that they're probably coming back. Does that make sense? It's past tense, it's done, right? But when you go, he has run to the store, that means they've already gone, but they're still in the motion of running. Does that make sense? So when we say, you are from God and have overcome, it doesn't say that you're from God and overcame, as in it only happened once, okay? But the perfect tense is reflecting this unique condition that Jesus, that you, dear children, are from God. You, dear children, have, it overcame in the past and are continuing to overcome now. Does that make sense? This is sort of why in John 1 it says, that darkness has not overcome the light. There's a sense that, yes, you have past victories, but you're continuing to reign victorious, is sort of the idea, all right? So I want you to turn to your neighbor again and say, you have overcome, not overcame. Okay? Yes, you have overcame, but that overcaming is still coming. Does that make sense? All right? Now, how in the world does overcoming work here? I want to highlight something interesting. It says, you dear children are from God and have overcome them. All right? It is the nature of being a child of God that you have a victorious spirit. Does that make sense? It is to your very nature of being a child of God that Your victory isn't something that exists in the past. It got established in the past, and dynamically it's continuing into your present, and it's perpetuating into the future. Does that make sense? And so when you hear these things of, man, I remember those times where I heard from the Lord. Man, I remember those times where I saw miracles, and you go, oh, that was a wonderful thing of the past. Unfortunately, that's not necessarily true thinking, because those things don't exist to only happen in the past. They also operate in perfect tense, so they perpetuate into your future. And so the problem with this passage, though, is, again, we have a different set of thinking on how we associate with this. It says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who's in you is greater than the one who's in the world. Dear children is actually a very interesting concept, because normally we go, you know, to the king, you've overcome. Does that make sense? We don't go to a child and go, you've overcome, right? Do you even understand what I'm saying? Because I don't even think you understand any words, period, right? And so children is sort of that opposite. But how many of you guys recognize that the kingdom of heaven actually operates from a very opposite point of view? In Revelation 5, we see a scroll that's sealed, and John is weeping, because it's like, who can open the seal to the scroll? And an elder points to John and goes, look, this is the person who can open the seal to the scroll. This is, look, it's the Lion of Judah who's come. And as the Lion of Judah comes, it says that, you know, behold, John saw a lamb, a slain lamb. So when the kingdom says, oh my gosh, here's this ferocious lion, we actually see a slain lamb walking to open the seal with its might and power. Okay? Very opposite thinking, because how in the world is it that a lamb roars like a lion? How is it that children are actually overcomers? Now, I remember this a long time ago, and I believe that it's because we have a mindset that teaches us what overcoming looks like. Years ago, again, when I was a part of a different ministry, I think I was taught, like, man, you want to overcome by showing value to people, by loving them. That's true. But we felt like the way that you really connect with people is by being relevant. Okay, and there was actually a church movement a while ago where being relevant was sort of like the big thing. And I think it's still important to like connect with people with where they're at, you know, meet them where they're at. But I remember, then I had kids, and for college ministry, I can't stay up till 3 a.m. in the morning, like playing Catan or video games and getting boba. And so, because like, you know, my kid doesn't care if I've been sleeping, he's going to wake me up at 4 a.m. in the morning, okay? And so I realized early on that I have to change my strategy. And so what finally hit it for me was we were doing this staff development thing, and we were going bowling, all right? And I was like, oh, great. You know, like, I've gone bowling. I could still, like, hang with the staff team. So I brought my bowling shoes that I bought a long time ago, not because I'm really good, but because I want to save money. And I was like, great. Like, everyone looks at you, goes like, oh man, you got bowling shoes? Like, you're serious, right? And so I was like, man, like, I used to, you know, break 100 and stuff. And then I remember, like, I stank at bowling, you know? I just couldn't hit anything. I got the lowest score, all right? And it was so bad, okay, that the person that beat me, that was above me, okay, she beat me with her left hand. And the reason why she bowled with her left hand was because, was because she like had a sling on her right hand because she like tore something. You know what I mean? So it was one of those things where she's like, oh, I'm not going to do that great because like, you know, I like tore this like, you know, muscle here. And then she bowls and then she beats me. And I'm like, I'm bowling with my right hand and with bowling shoes. And so I'm completely upset. And I tell my wife, I'm like, Lisa, like, I got beat by someone who wasn't even trying, or they were trying with their other hand, you know? And I was like, I used to be so cool, and, you know, I used to, like, bowl and all this other stuff, and now look at me, you know? And my wife, who's, like, so wise and so smart, she goes up to me, she goes, you know, Walter, I know you feel like you lost everything because, like, you have two kids, and you're no longer relevant with the college sphere and with your even with the staff, right? And she goes, but you know what? you have these two kids who don't care at all. And I'm like, okay. Does that help? Okay. But then she goes, they don't care because they just see you as their dad. They don't care because they see you as someone who just wants to love them. And quite honestly, that's all that they care about. And so, you know, I know, thank you, Caleb and Oliver, for that affirmation. And so anyways, they come, so Lisa and I, we're having to learn how to disciple our kids, right? And so these years pass, and, you know, Lisa's trying to teach them, like, hey, this is how we pray. Because she used to be an intercessor, and then she kind of can't really go to intercession meetings anymore, but she's trying to teach our kids. And, you know, it kind of goes into, like, you know, stop playing with the Legos and start praying, and, you know, stop playing with the Legos, we're still praying. And it's just stuff like that, right? Because kids are kids, and that's, you know, they only have so much of an attention span. But the funny part about that was, yeah, we had to choose. We're going to sacrifice being relevant and focus on just loving our kids, you know? And I remember years later, we were at this other church. This was like a couple years later. And we were, like, because they didn't have helpers for their kids' ministry, one of us could stay with the adult service, and then one of us could stay at the kids' service. And so I volunteered. I was like, you know, Lisa, like, you know, part of my job as a minister, I already interact with people. Let me take the kids. I'll do the kids' service. You know, I'll join them to watch the kids, and you can go to the adult service. And so Lisa goes to the adult service. I'm with the kids, right? I'm watching them. And as we do this kids' service, I remember, all of a sudden, there's this older girl, she was like 8 or 9, and all of a sudden, she like just hunches over, she's like writhing in pain, and she starts crying. And she's like, ah, right? And her mom holds her because, you know, her parents are there, and then it just starts kind of rocking back and forth, like, it's okay, it's okay. And then the worker, she didn't know what to do, but she goes, hey, like, kids, do any of you guys want to pray for this girl here who's going through a hard time? And, you know, all the kids are like, what is that? And so we're all kind of staring. And then I go up and I nudge Caleb and Oliver, and I'm like, hey, Caleb and Oliver, like, you guys have kind of done this before. Like, you've prayed with mom in, like, the room before you go to bed. And they're like, oh, yeah. And I was like, can we practice praying what you guys have done before? So they go, yeah, sure. So we go up and go, hey, is it okay if we pray for you? And, you know, mom says, yeah, that's okay. And so I put a hand on the lady. Caleb puts a hand on the lady. And then Oliver, because he's, like, super young, he just, like, hugs my leg. And so we're praying for this little girl, like, in Jesus, you know, I go, kids, repeat after me, Jesus, Jesus, we pray for so-and-so, we pray for so-and-so, in Jesus' name, you know, like, da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden, afterwards, like, amen. And we go up to this little girl, and the mom goes, how are you doing, sweetie? And she goes, ah, the pain moved from here to here. And so we don't often interact with moving pain. That's pretty unique. And so that told me, like, oh, this is probably a spirit of infirmity. You know what I mean? Something that's, again, testing the spirit. One is steal, kill, and destroy. It's causing her pain. It's making the family miserable. And so I go, hey, can we pray again? And so the girl, you know, the mom says, yeah, that's okay. And so I'm like, okay. And so I go, like, Caleb, Oliver, repeat after me. Like, dear Jesus, thank you for da-da-da, thank you for da-da-da. And in Jesus' name, spirit of infirmity, get out. You know, spirit of infirmity, get out. And Jesus' name, amen. You know, in Jesus' name, amen. So we look up, and the girl goes from, ah, to. And then the mom is like, and then the worker's like, and we're like, what's going on, too? And so we're all, like, just staring at each other, and we're like, you know, we're like, is she dead? No, she's sleeping. You know what I mean? Like, is this okay? I think this is a good thing. And so 5 minutes pass, and all of a sudden the girl, like, wakes up, and we're like, how are you doing, darling? She's like, oh, she's good. She gets up, and then she starts playing ball, like, with the other kids. And then we're just, like, looking, and then the mom goes, we've been going from doctor to doctor for this past month, and we haven't found a single thing that they've been able to successfully diagnose. And then they go, how in the world did this happen? You know, and we're like, hey, this, I was like, to tell you the truth, it's okay if you run up against the devil, because then you're not running with him. And I was like, this doesn't mean you did anything wrong as parents. This probably means that the devil's scared of you guys. You know, and so we get to pray for the family. You know, a couple years later, we see this woman, this is the same little girl like totally fine. And she, you know, she's dedicated to the church, things like that. And so anyways, I love that because Lisa comes back after service and she's like, hey, the message was really good. How was your guys' time with the kids? You know? And then like the worker and all of us are like looking at each other. And, oh yeah, it was good. It was good. We got to like cast out a demon. The kids got to cast out a demon. It was like totally fun. And she's like, how did that happen? You know? And so I bring that up because again, I had to change my mindset. An overcomer isn't someone who's relevant. An overcomer is someone who's willing to sow love. Okay, willing to sow love that even their kids, if they're willing to be loving, kids don't have a junior Holy Spirit. They can actually overcome because of the love that's sown in them. Does that make sense? Overcoming doesn't actually operate from the world's point of view. It actually operates from being children of God. And guess what? Being children of God, it's not really about being the coolest kid. Being God's child is about, man, I just need to realize that Jesus loves me. I just need to realize that, you know, I'm trying to figure out where in the world I'm going with my life, but that's okay because I could be lost, but if I'm holding the hand of my Father, I don't really feel scared. You know, I don't even care about where I go because He's going to lead me to the place I'm called to go, right? But what's more important? Is it more important to figure out where I'm going, or is it more important for me to hold the hand of the Father? Is it more important for me to figure out that I've got to be relevant to overcome the world? How am I going to overcome the world? Or does it actually look like I've just got to be a child? It's my right to overcome. And all I've got to do is just go, wow, God loves me regardless. Let that transform my life. Overcoming is the second one. The third one, we're going to go ahead and keep going. And it says this. It says, they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever's not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So this final point I want to make is that you have the right to speak. So turn to your neighbor and say, you have the right to speak. You have the right to speak. It says, they're from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, to recognize there's a mindset, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever's not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Really quickly, there's a couple key interpretations here. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error is other translations. This is a key text for where we get the idea of apostolic succession is what they call it in the church. It's the idea that like you listen to your church leaders. That's sort of the Catholic tradition. But this is also where we get the idea of recognizing like the Bible as our area of discerning the spirit of truth and falsehood because it contains the accounts of the apostles too. Okay. Now the key issue is that is the translation of the second sentence. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever's not from God does not listen to us. So it's easy to kind of look at this and go, well, John's saying whoever doesn't listen to us as apostles is not from God. Okay, that's sort of, but when you actually look at the rendering of this translation, it's like you guys are children from God, right, and have overcome. They're from the world and speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. And so at that point, is we apostles, or does we actually mean all of us as the family of God? And that's sort of where, you know, I want to propose it's actually like, it's not an either or, it's both and more. I do believe it's true that the apostles carried an authority. I do believe that that is manifested in the scriptures. But I also believe that he's trying to say, as children of God, when you speak, those who are from God or whoever knows God listens to us. And whoever's not from God does not listen to us. And so in short, what I think is if you have a viewpoint of the world, it beckons the authority of the world. If you have the viewpoint of God, even if someone doesn't necessarily isn't from God, but they know God, even if they're in the trenches, there's something about what you speak as a child of God. There's something about your identity being made manifest forward that actually transforms people to go, wait a minute, I recognize that spirit from God. And so just one more story, and then I kind of want to invite my team up here. But I remember having, a long time ago, I was doing housekeeping. I don't know if I've shared this story before. It looks like I haven't, but I was doing housekeeping in Colorado. And, you know, there was this woman that people were kind of afraid of. And they're like, oh, be careful of Elle. You know, And we would hear in our meetings when we gathered together, oh, Elle completely humbled me, right? And like, I was kind of a younger believer at that time, so I'm like, oh, like that sounds like it was a great learning experience. But like, why are they kind of crying right now? You know what I mean? And so little did I know that like, oh, I was totally humbled in that moment is sort of like Christian talk for like, I had a miserable time. And so I keep hearing this from like all of these other friends of mine, like, oh, in our housekeeping rotation, we had Elle and I was so humbled by her. And I'm like, why is everyone being humbled by Elle? And I realized one time I was filling out my time card. And as I was, you know, closing my session, all of a sudden, I hear this woman come up to me and go, rah, 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 you know, these ridiculous people. Da, da, da. And I was like, oh, that's Elle, you know, like, and that's why everyone's terrified of her. And so finally, there was one day where they're like, okay, people underneath Elle, Walter Chu, right? So that means she's my shift leader. And so I come by her. And then, you know, my other friend also joins, and she's like, oh my gosh, 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 right? And so I hear her, and I'm like, oh, she's terrified. And I'm like, that doesn't help me stay encouraged either, right? But I also remember at that point, God gave me the sense, like, you know, Walter, your identity inside of you is greater than the circumstance of fear. So don't let it shake you. Don't let it offend you. And so I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to be joyful, and I'm gonna, you know, be like, this is awesome. And so we hang out, and the first cleaning session, right, like my friends, like trying to get as far away from Elle as possible, and I was somewhere in the middle. And I remember like, you know, oh, we're not done yet. Oh, yeah, that's okay, Elle, all good. And so I just go right into it, you know, and my other friend, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And so we keep doing this whole thing. And I remember finally what happened was like there's one, you know, cleaning cabin we finished early. And no one wants to really finish early with Elle because that means that you have nothing to do. And you have to kind of sit there and stare at each other until the van comes to pick you up. So we're sitting there staring at each other until the van picks us up. And I remember I was like, so Elle, like, what do you think of da-da-da-da? You know, I'm just trying to be nice because we have nothing to do. Because she said good job, which was really good. And then, you know, she's like little talk like, da-da-da-da, right? And after a couple cabin sessions, I remember at one point we finished early. Because again, with Elle, you finish early. And while we're looking, all of a sudden, she climbs up to like the kitchen, and she hops on and she sits on it. And we're like, oh my gosh, like you defiled the kitchen counter, you know? Like, you just broke your own rule, Elle. And she's like, you know what? You're as young as you feel. And we're like, oh, that's so weird. and then, you know, this keeps happening. And eventually, I go, Elle, what's your story? And she goes, you know, I come from, you know, I have a child. I come from an abusive relationship. And she said, I was also diagnosed with mental illness. And so I was finally in the psych ward. And I realized I'm not going to see my daughter again if this keeps up. And so there I am, shackled to the bed. And she goes, Jesus, I need you. And she goes, I'm trying to figure this out so I can get back to my daughter. And we were like, oh, that's the story, you know? And so, you know, we just keep loving on her. And afterwards, I remember everyone else, when we debriefed as a group, they're like, oh, yeah, that's, they used to call her Crazy Elle. And then they were like, oh, that's Crazy Elle for you. They're like, but somehow she seems to get along with Walter. And then I remember going, yeah. And she was also really wise when I got to talk to her. I shared with them my testimony. They go, so we're not going to call her Crazy Elle. We're going to call her Wise Elle from now on, you know? And so, anyways, I never had another shift with Elle again. But it goes to show you that there's something about your identity that just your identity in and of itself can speak words from that identity to be able to shift the demeanor of people around you, to shift the atmosphere before you. In fact, your identity, when you speak, whatever God sows starts to listen, even if it's inside the world right now. And that's the main thing I want to speak to you right now is we're talking about God as light and love. If you're a child of God, you have the right to speak. If you're a child of God, your identity just by its nature already wins. That the moment you step into your workplace, the moment you step into a community, a neighborhood, right? You could just say, how are you doing? And already that identity is starting to manifest something inside that people go, I don't know why that was just like a yo, what's up? But for some reason, like here's all of like my heart laid out before you, you know? And so, guys, we're standing in front of a bunch of powerful people right now. Okay, how many of you guys recognize you're children of God? That means that the moment you step out of this room and you just talk to someone you're getting lunch with, you carry a solution to their entire problem. You actually carry solutions that can transform the world. I want to invite my team up right now, too, just to share a little bit. And I want to just, you know, one of the things that we love doing is we want to just speak identity into you guys right now. Does that sound good? And so I want to take a moment and have them share a bit. And can I borrow this microphone? I'm so sorry. All right, sound people, I guess you'll find the line really quick. All right. This one was on, so I was assuming that, hold on, here we go. Do I have to hold it? Okay, we're good? Okay. So I want to take a moment just to have our group just speak and pray over you guys and just sow identity into you guys because it's so important. Let's be led from what Jesus says about us, right? Because that identity has the power to shift communities and our entire world if we allow it to be in the forefront of our hearts. So, I'll pray for us and then you guys can go ahead. So Jesus, whatever's of you, I want to just pray that it sows into people's hearts. Whatever's not of you may fall to the ground, but God, may catalysts be encouraged in this time. May catalysts be encouraged in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, so I have this for the person three rows, like.
She's wearing the dark blue shirt?
Yeah, with the.
Is it says Dodge right now? Dodgers?
Oh, so in this row, but then you go.
Third?
Yeah, the third row with the dark blue shirt.
Dark blue shirt, what was her name? Yeah.
Yeah, you.
Ellen.
Evan? Yeah. Okay, so I got like this picture of there's this knight, and he was like. There's these, like, just people who are trying to attack him, but then he shot arrows, it was, like, fire arrows, but then the people absorbed them, and then I guess there was, like, this box unlocked that they got when they got the arrow, but then, so I think I got that you're the knight, and you're shooting fire arrows, but they're, like, good, because the people around you get, when, like, they touch the fire arrow, they get, like, they unlock, like, if they don't understand their identity, then in Christ, then they get it. Like, that's the treasure box. Like, you spread Christ to others, and then their identity if they're lost.
Amen. Yeah. And it's Ellen, right? Yeah, I'd love to add on to Caleb's word. As I saw that as he explained, like the fire arrows flying, because it's on fire, it actually like illuminates the area. You know, so not only were you attacking the enemy as you were like shooting arrows, but it was also giving other people hope because they saw that as the arrows flew past them, that there was light, and that light was giving them hope. You know, and it's just like it kind of felt like a movie, like a Lord of the Rings moment. Just like it feels like I just saw like in the battle Caleb was describing that like it was dark, like people were fighting and all that. But when they saw the fire arrow shoot, they're like, "Oh, that's Ellen. There's hope. She's fighting. This is it." You know, and she was even sharing. He was sharing about like the treasure that you carried. I did see a treasure box, and I saw that in that treasure box that you have was something that was just so precious that you were willing to defend it, you know, and I think it just speaks about your hope. Yeah, I just want to encourage you with that. Oh, go ahead.
So I got a word for in the second row, the back shirt. What's your name?
Jane.
Jane?
Jane.
Okay. So I saw a pine tree on, like, a mountain, and I saw its roots, like, growing and stretching into I had, like, a firm hold on, like, the side of the mountain. And I feel like God is, he's growing you until you have, like, a strong foothold in the word. And, like, basically.
Amen. Do you guys have anything? You do? Okay.
Hi. Sorry, what's your name? Rick. So I just saw an image of the sun shining through the clouds, and you are one of the plants. like underneath on the on earth. And I just saw like God telling me to tell you that he wants to like help you grow. And while like other plants are covering you, trying to block all the lights, you are still able to break through. And that the other plants is not gonna affect you, and you can still be locked in and focusing on God. So I just wanted to pray that over you. Yeah.
Hello, everyone. All right, so I didn't get a message for a specific someone, but I do just want to pray over everyone. So thank you, Jesus, for bringing us here today. After a long week, just thank you, Jesus, for bringing us here to spend time with you and hear from Walter's sermon, and also just be children of God with you here, with our community. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for listening to us, for always being a great listener, and hearing all of our, our long week, all of our breakthroughs, all of our, just everything that we go through in our daily life as children of God. Just thank you, Jesus, for always being here with us. Amen.
While Walter was speaking, I just felt like left ankle pain. Does anyone here have left ankle? I'm just like throwing it out there for healing. Or left eye pain? Nothing? Anyone know anybody with left ankle pain? Oh, what do you have? Left eye pain or left ankle pain? Left ankle? Hey, everyone around him, is it okay if we pray for you for healing for that ankle? We just believe that Jesus is Jehovah Rapha and he'll heal you right now. But if everyone around him can kind of just lay his hands. What was your name? Jeremy. All right, Jeremy. I just want to pray for you. Jeremy, I just pray in the name of Jesus for full healing over his ankle. Lord, we pray for full recovery right now. God, we pray for no ankle pain. We pray for any fibers or anything that that may have caused this pain to go away right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Jeremy, is there any way you could test it for us? Like, if it's really hurt, if, you know, like, you maybe roll around or kind of feel it and let us know if it's still hurting. Okay. Yeah. Is there any pain as you walk? Feels okay? Okay, praise God. Amen. Let us know if there's any pain that comes back. We'd love to pray again. Yeah. And then I have a few words. During worship, a few people were highlighted to me. What was your name with the hat? You. Yeah. Christian, I'm taking a risk here, but do you happen to like fishing? Yeah, the Lord told me you fish a lot, yeah, and so that's awesome. Yeah, and then I just saw that every time you threw a hook, it catches something. And I just want to encourage you, not just in fishing, I pray that like it's like a Peter moment. You throw your hook and like five fish on that. But I do want to encourage you, Christian. I just saw like the Lord was saying that, Christian, he has made you to be a fisher of men, as we all are. But I heard that every time you casted the hook, it caught something. Every single time. So I just want to encourage you with that. That I don't know if there's like a realm of risk when it comes to advancing the kingdom that maybe has been in your heart. But the Lord is saying that when you throw that hook, it catches something. And so I just want to encourage you with that. I hope that resonates. I'm glad you do fish. What was your name? You're wearing blue. Yeah, you. Yeah, Josh. Are you an engineering an engineer by any chance? Like, do you like engineering or like math? You do? Okay, cool. Praise God. Well, I just saw. So this was during worship when I walked in. You were also pretty highlighted to me. It was Josh, right? Yeah. And Josh, I just want to encourage you, Josh. The Lord told me that you're a good builder and you're a good builder of things. You know. So I don't know if there's been things against that, but I just want to highlight that identity of yours, that you are a builder and you were called to build, but you're a good builder. The things that you build last. And they stand. And I felt like the Lord, while we were worshiping, he says, the things that my son Josh builds turned into monuments for me. You know, and those monuments, no one can topple them down. So I just want to encourage you with that, Josh, in Jesus' name. Yeah, cool. I have another word, but do you guys have anything? Okay. What was your name? Yeah, you're red flannel. Don? Yeah, is today your first time here, or you've been here before? You've been here before? Okay, Don. While I was praying, I was slightly moved to tears, but I heard prayers from where you live. I don't know if it's your prayers, but I just kept hearing the God and thy staff, they comfort me. And so, it was Ron? Don, sorry, Don. And I don't know if you've prayed that before. Have you been praying something along the lines of like, Lord, like, I know this is happening right now, but I know you've got my back. I just kept hearing that over and over again. And I just saw that you were carrying like a rod. That's why I think that verse was highlighted to me. But if not, that's okay. I just want to encourage you with that, like that the Lord has got your back. He's proud of you, Don. You know, and I just saw like it was a rod that was kind of like beaming in gold. Like I was like, Lord, is that like Moses' staff? Like, no, it's different. But the rod that you carry is it's strong and it's powerful. And I think it speaks about a lot of your faith and but also just like, hey, like the Lord gave this to me. I know I can lean on it. You know, and I just feel like the Lord is just saying that Don, like you're the doer of the impossible. I know it might sound crazy, but I just felt like the Lord was saying that because you are the doer of the impossible in Jesus' name. So I hope that's encouraging. Yeah, cool. Yeah. Okay.
So I got a word for, wait, your name was Rick. I saw you doing rock climbing on this cliff, like that was super high. And like when you finally made it up, you like looked back and then like at like the scenery below and you're like, wow, this is like God's creation. And I feel like you're going to like new levels and he's gonna give you the power to like go and like reach those levels. And like no matter what obstacles lie in your path, God's gonna give you like a way to like clear them out or go around.
Cool. All right, thank you guys. Can we give a round of applause to this group here? Awesome. So I just want to close, but I think Marcy's going to be coming back up for worship. So as the worship team comes back up, I kind of want to invite us to do this. If you guys don't mind standing here, I just want to invite my friends. If you guys feel like, man, I want to invest into my identity right now, I want to make that something that becomes my foundation. I want to invite you guys, like, I just want to hear God just encourage me for a moment. Would you consider coming up and just receiving some prayer? We would love to encourage you guys. We would love to just share something that maybe can sow into your guys' hearts. And I want to just say this, as you guys do that, would we continue just, like, worshiping? And I'd say this, too. Again, you guys are all powerful people. If you have something on your heart and you want to like pray for somebody and just be like, hey, can I just sow identity into somebody as well? Like if you feel like someone needs to be encouraged by they just need to be affirmed. They're doing a great job. Would you consider encouraging them today before the service ends? Because I want us to walk in an area where, man, identity is so important that I don't let inconvenience stop me from saying that this is more important than whatever circumstance I have. And so anyways, I just want to invite us. Our team's going to be here if you guys want to receive prayer during worship or just even receive identity. And yeah, as you guys worship, just ask God, what's an assignment today to be able to walk out that realm of identity and let that be the currency of my economy. So Jesus, I just want to bless our time. Thank you, God, that we get to fellowship with my brothers and sisters here. And help us see identity as the number one thing in our lives. Number one that we would drive, if we were right before we head on the freeway, we'll turn back to the store just to let the store owner know, hey, Jesus says you're amazing. We might tell a neighbor something like that, even though we've never told them that before. We might help somebody that we normally don't help because they're worthy in your eyes. Lord, help us see identity, your identity in us as something so powerful, it changes the course of history. Lord, would you continue ministering to us? And I want to pray, yeah, Lord, as we come up and just receive words from my friends here, or as we continue worshiping, God, speak to us of how we can walk this out. In Jesus' name, amen.